You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Wednesday, February 15th, 2017. My name is Michael Brooks on a Michael Wednesday, and this is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We're broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On today's program, Wozni Lambre, Big Woz, from ESPN True Hoop, live in studio. We're talking about Dum Dum Gate, the Trump administration, ongoing, endless, relentless, tremendous, fantastic, really incredible crisis. Mike Flynn lied to a bunch of people, and then they lied to each other, and then they screwed Mike Pence, and now he's out. But the scandal is still unfolding. Maybe that's good news for the Kurds, but probably not. I'll explain why. And Rand Paul coming through with some important insight. We can't let Russia potentially compromising our system of government because we have other things to do, like take food out of children's mouths, make people homeless. We got bigger things to focus on, according to Rand Paul. In a move guaranteed to help super producer Matt and other young Catholics like him in arguments with their parents, the Pope comes out strong against the Dakota Access Pipeline. Mamma mia. How the European far right is funded by Russia, supported by Russia. That's the real story of Russian intervention in American politics and global politics. That's why it matters. Andrew Pudzer gearing up for his hearings tomorrow, nominating him to be labor secretary is like fill in the blank of any joke. You know, Alex Jones, mental health task force, Bill Cosby, rape prevention network, you know, any of that stuff. We'll get to that. And we thought it was going to be Sean Spicer, but it might be the incredible, the terrifying Kellyanne Conway. She's having a rough day, folks. We'll get to all of that and more on today's Majority Report. Let's start up top as Woz gets himself situated. Actually, you want to take, we'll do this sound real quick, then throw on some quick break music and set Woz up. All right, but let's just get to this for a second. Rand Paul, who is known for his commitment to the Constitution, his horrible voice, being like his son. Wow, it's weird. His son, the son, like, if Rand Paul is like an honorable crackpot, like an insane old man who's sort of like, oh, I mean, you gotta have gold. You gotta, I mean, you know, I don't hate black people, but, you know, I mean, the chromosomes, you know, you're just like, all right, dude, whatever. Go to a nursing home, whatever you need to do. Rand Paul is like the dick son who got all of the bad ideas, but none of like the sort of bizarre, like weird sort of honorableness of his dad. So he's trying to figure out how to deal with the Trump era because Donald Trump certainly sunned him a lot during the campaign. I remember one of my favorite moments during the debates was when Rand Paul made his attack at Trump, and he's like, you know, all he does is make fun of how people look and everything. It's just so sophomoric. And Trump looked at him, and he goes, well, I've never made any comments about how you look, and believe me, there's a lot of material there. And that was one of those moments where I realized that I'm not such a great person in some ways, because if in that literal moment, I would have voted for Donald Trump. But Rand Paul now, though, he was talking with Brian Kilmeade, who is still, even in today's world, a solid candidate for dumbest person on planet Earth. And they were on Kilmeade's radio show.
Definitely one of the dumbest published authors.
Oh, yes. I mean...
Trump's a published author. So
yeah, I was
going to
say, I make deals. No, I mean, honestly, Brian Kilmeade makes Donald Trump look like a Rhodes Scholar or a Nobel winner. I mean, Brian Kilmeade is room temperature on this. And basically, Rand Paul's talking to him, and they're talking about Mike Flynn. Mike Flynn's been eased out, but there's new reports coming out with these Russia stories, and the whole thing is a disaster. But Rand Paul has a really important insight about not getting your eye. The Republicans just can't get their eyes off of the ball. They need to stay focused on what really matters. Here's Rand Paul talking about why there shouldn't be further investigations to the ever-stupid Brian Kilmeade.
Administration's linked to Russia in light of the Lieutenant General resigning as National Security Advisor last night.
You know, I think that might be excessive. I think that looks like the president has handled the situation, and unless there's some kind of other evidence of malfeasance, this sounds like something that was internal White House politics, and looks like the president's handled it.
I agree personally. I just think that the Senator McCain, and I can understand he was hit personally by the president, I think, as you were. I don't think he's over it, do you?
I just don't think it's useful to be doing investigation after investigation, particularly of your own party. We'll never even get started with doing the things we need to do, like repealing Obamacare, if we're spending our whole time having Republicans investigate Republicans. I think it makes no sense.
I agree.
Okay, so basically what you have there is, this is, of course, just a little small side blip that Mike Flynn lied, potentially the FBI, lied to, apparently, Mike Pence. Trump knew. This is just the beginning of what we know about these calls to Russia, along with everything else that keeps getting reported about this stuff. But Rand Paul's on target. He's like, look, we have more important things to do, like make sure people don't have health care and take people out of their homes. I mean, I didn't become elected to the Senate to investigate espionage. I did it to make black kids poorer. So I think we got to get back to basics. All right, we're going to take a 30-second break, set Waz up, and then we will be right back with more of the ongoing Dum Dum Watergate and so much more on the Majority Report. We'll be right back.
Don't come overnight. No matter no substance over hype. Do it for the love, and I do it for the life. No for the love lights, that's alright. See them in a post and a tweet all night. See them on social media type. Well, like said them, they are studio advice. Oh, me never put them up on no flight. And me never see them a live no tour life. You miss someone, now you have so much likes. I'm always still a lead by iTunes. Simple mean we're not ready yet. If we put the music first, that's all. While we there, you're on a wire and a hype. Weary, work, that's all. So when you see me, yes, I see I. And every tune when we never write. And every show where we end line. No, we not do it for the likes, but we tell them.
All right, welcome back to the Majority Report. We're all set. Welcome, Big Waz.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, man? He's not. You want to push the talk?
Can you hear me?
Oh, no, don't. You want to be on Push to Talk or not? No, he shouldn't be on Push to Talk. Sorry, everybody. All right, so I always keep trying to focus on the part of this Russia story that to me actually matters, okay? I don't get it, and you tell me what you think. I feel like Russia makes everybody stupid. I can't find a single area of this conversation other than Marcy Wheeler, who was on yesterday, who seems to be able to talk about this. Because obviously there's like, you know, Democratic, like, you know, establishment Clinton types who want to blame Russia for everything because they don't want to take responsibility for anything. And they've all of a sudden become, you know, they're like in their conspiracy theory mode on Russia. But then on the other hand, you have people who are like, you know, like, Russia didn't do anything. How do I know? Because Julian Assange tweeted it. And he's the most honest person in the history of humanity. And even to criticize Russia on anything means that we're about to have the Third World War. Oh, is your laptop?
Oh,
sounds
shoot,
on the laptop.
Sorry.
So, Waz coming in. But I think the this is a piece that recently was reported in NBC News a couple of days ago. And all of this stuff, like, here's what we know definitively about Russia in terms of the Trump administration, okay? We know that Paul Manafort, who managed Trump's campaign briefly, is connected to politicians in Ukraine who are Russian sort of, you know, patronage clients, basically, right? Like, they're fronts for Russia. We know that there's a lot of investigation interest in Manafort in terms of his connection to those politicians and the corruption emanating out of Eastern Europe. So that's an indisputable connect. We already know that. We know that Mike Flynn had this conversation with the Russian ambassador, lied about it, and has to go. We also know that the administration knew for weeks he was lying about it, and it only became a problem when it was revealed that he was lying about it.
If he was, in fact, lying about
it. If he was, or if he wasn't doing it at the behest of Trump.
Right.
Right?
If he wasn't working in concert with them, which I'm more inclined to believe.
Yeah, I'm more
inclined.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like, we've got like this like dumb Watergate situation. But before, so... Okay, so and then we have like the DNC hacks, which I'm inclined to believe probably was Russia related, but I've not seen definitive evidence on that at all, right?
Sure.
Like, I totally would own that. And then we have the dossier, which makes for a lot of fun reading.
Right.
And I certainly don't.
Moby says it's true.
Moby the musician has said that he has intelligence contacts that have confirmed the validity.
Moby's been right so far this week.
Yeah, of the PP dossier. So, but let's just get to this NBC report for a second, because this is like the part, I think, of Russian foreign policy that actually matters, right? Because the point is to improve things in the international system, not just look for anybody to equate with the United States or constantly point out hypocrisy. Like, I don't think pointing out hypocrisy is really the most terribly interesting thing in the world. The point is that Russia's interested in nationalist parties. It's interested in far-right politics. And there's a natural reciprocity with Russia for really obvious reasons, because Russia's a far-right-wing petrostate.
Right.
Right? Ain't that complicated. So I'll get your thoughts on this. I'm just going to quote a little bit from this NBC News article. While U.S. intelligence agencies investigate claims that Russia secretly hacked emails to help tip last year's elections in favor of Donald Trump, Russia's push to bolster far-right populist politicians in Europe has been far more blatant. And then just moving forward, in the past, the Russian government has given loans to Marie Le Pen's National Front Party in France. He's signed agreements with far-right party in Hungary. On RT, there's, you know, regular outlets for other Eurosceptic and sort of pro-Russian political parties as well. And this is much more overt in the Eurozone. And again, there's nothing like amazing about figuring this out. Putin, Russian foreign policy strategy is to undermine the European Union because a united Europe is not helpful to what they want to do with their energy strategy. It's not helpful in terms of people advocating for different ways of piping natural gas into Germany. Right. And what they're trying to do is fine. And then the parties in Europe, it makes sense. They have kinship with them.
Right.
They're far right. They're anti-immigrant. They're both not particularly fans of Muslims.
Yeah.
So it's in ideological harmony. And I guess what I don't understand, I want your thoughts on, is like, why can't we just have a conversation about Russia that doesn't either devolve into a conspiracy theory, they're the origin of all evil on the planet, and we need to confront them, whatever that means, or like, just even criticizing anything they do means that you want like a new Cold War or something. I mean, it's just weird.
Yeah, I think people conflate some of our past issues with Russia with the present, right? If you can just have an understanding that what they want to do is sell oil, right? Because that's what that's how they support their economy. Their economy is a petrol state. Yeah, yeah, you know. So if you just understand that that's their ultimate goal, it's not hard to get why they would support Donald Trump. You know, because he's amenable to that. Like the people that he surrounded himself with are all oil. Sort of, at the very least, adjacent. You know?
No, absolutely.
So it's not that hard to understand. It's just people. It's just Russia's one of those buzzwords, right? That you can ascribe so many different things to. But if you just break it down to its core components, they're a petro state. They want to sell oil. They want to do it for as long as they possibly can, and they're investing in that basically with these far right parties. And the reason why. The reason why you would invest in these far-right nationalistic parties is because it's an easy sell. It's easy to get people on board with that. It's easy to get, you know, native, let's face it, European
nativists,
you know, to feel like, yo, these foreigners are ruining everything.
The foreigners are ruining everything, and we don't want to be under the yoke of the EU. We want to have our own bilateral relationships. Well, that makes sense from a Russian strategic standpoint. And I said in 2010, right, this is before we even start talking about what happened with Trump specifically and the funding of any parties like the National Front. When it was even earlier. There was a German coalition government that ended in 2005 with Social Democrats and Greens, right? And Gerhard Schroeder, who was the chancellor of Germany, and the foreign minister, Joschka Fischer, they went off after they left office, and they were on competing pipeline projects. And one that Joschka Fischer wanted was the Nabokov pipeline, which would have moved through the Caucasus and Turkey, and it would have provided an alternative way of getting natural gas into Germany, and it would have been less reliant on Russia. Schroeder, almost like very shortly after he left office, was completely put on the board of Nord Stream, which is a major Russian pipeline project, and sits on the board of big Russian energy companies, right? So, like, they also tried to get one of the first Bush's former treasury secretaries to do that as well. Like, this is not really that complicated to figure out. And the goal is they just want to have their pipes everywhere. And that, like, that's not... There's no like big, deep thing to figure out here.
Right.
And I think, you know, we talked about this with Dan Dicker, but now there was a recent piece that I know we were both going over called Trump, Putin, and Pipelines to Nowhere by Alex Steffen, which is exactly what you were getting us into. And it's basically, I'll just quote from it really quick. Trump has put forward a host of other appointees who are overt. This is the climate denial connection.
Right.
Right. So first you have all the oil guys like Tillerson, who, again, is very close to Putin and shares a synchronized view on global oil exploration. Right.
Of course.
Then you have this is now quoting from the article, overt climate denialists and generally also have financial ties to the industries threatened by the carbon bubble. These include Rick Perry, Trump's choice for the Secretary of Energy and close ally of Big Oil, Scott Pruitt, EPA Administrator and virulent climate denialist, Nikki Haley, UN Ambassador, also known for suppressing climate science as governor, Steve Bannon, Chief Strategist and just generally gross, Ryan Zink, Secretary of the Interior, who strongly supports more oil and gas explorations on public lands, and of course, Jeff Sessions, Attorney General and climate regulation opponent, and Elaine Chao, Secretary of Transportation, who's been tasked with getting fossil fuel infrastructure planned through Congress, working with her husband, Mitch McConnell, who's an arch energy advocate. There's only, I mean, every other country in the globe with any kind of like comparable block of power, like China has terrible environmental policy, but they have a much more diversified portfolio and they're trying to invest in renewables. The European Union has done a lot on climate change. Russia, not so much.
Right.
And now we're not. So I just think like people need to get through their heads that that's where the interest points are.
And it's the same it's always been, right? Ever right. since, I want to say right after World War One, we figured out that like this oil and gas stuff, like energy is where it's at. But yeah. that was 100 years ago, by the way.
Right, right.
Like we discovered this technology 100 years ago, which is kind of all you need to know about it. And these, and we've kind of, a lot of our policy has been dictated by energy.
Yeah, just wiring the world for carbon.
You know, everything we do in the Middle East, all of this stuff, you know, it's been driven by, so it's the same as it's ever been. I don't know why it's so hard for people to comprehend that. Like it's...
It's you a know, different slice of it. It's a different. It's an expansion of what's right. already happened.
And this idea that you know, just because these people have already made billions of dollars polluting the planet, doesn't mean that these people don't ever have their fill. It's never going to be enough. They're not going to just be like, you know what, this oil and gas thing. It had a nice run. we've enriched ourselves adequately enough. Let's just give it a rest. Let's, you know, green energy. Let's let them have their time. That's it's, not it's, how this
it's
works.
Green energy's time. Well, and it's also a fundamentally it's a non-strategic industry by definition.
Right.
Like you could like in the sense of you might need to have maps and plans and projections about oil deposits and energy deposits, but fundamentally all you're trying to do is hit a spot, rip and run.
Right.
That's it.
That's it.
And you share a mentality and an interest with, you know, the present Russian administration. And if you look at, again, in the European context where it's far more overt, I don't understand what is hard for people to understand about the natural affinities here in terms of political and strategic interest. And that doesn't mean that I want us to have a Cold War with Russia or that Russians are the worst or, you know, or any of these right. other like weird things that people bring up in this conversation.
What you see happen a lot, especially with, you know, a green wall type, right? It's right. like the reason why I can understand why he has this instinctual pushback, because this is what we do with radical Islam, right?
Yeah.
It's the same.
And he's right. He's right about a lot of that. He's right.
A lot of times when we do this boogeyman stuff, it's wrong.
Right.
You know, and you know, because I'm sitting here thinking about some of these, you know, alt-right, these white nationalist figures and these anti-Islamic people.
You're talking about that school shooter guy that we're about to talk about?
Sure.
Stephen Miller?
You know, it's this idea that, like, radical Islam is coming and they're going to spread Sharia law. It's like something like that is so stupid because we can't even get people to think that affordable healthcare is something that they want, right? But we're going to get people to embrace the most fundamentalist elements of the Islamic faith.
Well, it's just not about embracing, it's about forcing. Right. Allahu Akbar.
Right. We can't force people to embrace affordable healthcare for themselves. It's just ridiculous. So I understand the pushback,
right?
But you know, fundamentally, it's not a Russia thing. It's an oil thing.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. It's not a Russia thing. It's an oil thing, and then it's a global far right thing.
Right.
That's like the thing that people need to get through their heads. Like, do you want to improve a system? Do you want to say like, okay, a foreign policy that's dominated by American imperial interest that is aggressively pushed by NATO, that imposes austerity, that writes trade agreements that favor Western corporations, that exploit all sorts of people and natural resources. Of course, the whole point of left politics and solidarity is you want to evolve and improve upon that. But then if your response is, no, I would prefer like a mercantile Russian foreign policy, that's not an evolution, that's a digression.
Right.
And I think that, you know, we need to start having conversations about, from like a left perspective, of like, where are the people or groups or institutions in the globe that we actually want to align with, even if they don't have a lot of power right now? You know what right. I mean? Like, we'll get to the Kurds and Turkey in a couple of minutes, because, you know, that's a good example of like, for their flaws and their mistakes, like, that's a group of socialists holding down a major piece of real estate in Syria, implementing some very progressive things and fighting ISIS. Like, okay, right. There's a model of something I'm right. interested in having solidarity with, but not just some far-right petrostate just because they are not liked by some other people that are idiots here. But before we, yeah, unless you have another thing, I want to get us to some Kellyanne in a minute.
Oh, okay. Well, you know,
yeah.
What I was going to say was, well, maybe you should get George Soros on the phone to fund these things.
Yeah, I would. I want to get George Soros to fund the YPG.
Hey, man, George, I'm still waiting on my check, man.
Yeah. We're all waiting on our check from George. You know that if we were in right-wing media, we would already be making like
of course.
A couple hundred thousand dollars a year.
But that's what I'm saying.
We could do
Michael.
A show where it could just be like we would just be like, by the way, I think affirmative action is bad for you people. And you'd be like, that's exactly right.
Right.
And then be like, all right, so check, alive, check, check, check. Yeah, exactly.
It'd be so easy to make money off of that. But that's
my
what I'm
God.
Saying. Like, where's our lefty Koch brothers? You know,
yeah.
It just doesn't exist. So it's kind of harder to do that. You know, to reach out to these these foreign sort of entities, these like-minded entities, it's harder, man, because nobody's investing.
Yeah, but it's like another thing. It's just synchronized. It's like if your politics is you have a fixation on keeping your cultural identity clean. Which
but
Russia,
that's easy
which
to
Russia,
sell,
it's
that's
easy to sell to a certain part of the population.
Easy to package,
and then your foreign policy is going to be built around the most powerful companies and extractive industries on the planet. There you go.
Boom.
I mean, boom,
done.
Yeah, dunzo. It's not exactly. I mean, the only thing that's actually holding them up, at least in our context, is how embarrassingly incompetent they are. So I want to get. Just to this, and it's just so funny because we'll play this John McCain sound actually. We'll do Kellyanne in the fun half because Kellyanne is having a rough time, dude.
Yeah,
she's but this to me is just amazing because it's like, you know, I always say this with John McCain, like, you wouldn't have Donald Trump without Sarah Palin,
nope,
right? Like, there's a whole bunch of reasons why you have Donald Trump, but that transition of like, I'm gonna make my VP a complete imbecile.
We're going to gin up the base.
Gin up the base, which is also, you know what's great about that too is just how insulting that is. It's just like, I don't want to gin up my base. I have some like racist incompetent from Alaska. That'll get
the
them
thing.
Excited, right? That's, and it will.
That's like, you know, if a woman like kind of just
well, that there's
the strap off a little bit. Like, look, you see that?
That's definitely another big part of the Sarah Palin dynamic with these people. It's so disturbing. But John McCain, and at the same time, he does that, has the nerve to run around talking about country first.
Oh, please.
And then Western, and then Washington. Yeah, of course, he's a fraud. And here he is walking, you know, I think he's like in an airport or somewhere on the move. And he gets caught up with, I believe, this is ABC News. And okay, let's just review what's happened in the last couple of days. You had photos at Mar-a-Lago with Trump being like, hey, you gave me money? Take a picture with the guy who carries the nuclear football. Like and also, you know, like, and by the way, ooh, that's a black guy carrying the nuclear football. So, don't
you know
think
safe.
You can call me racist. They're great at football. Why shouldn't they carry the football? They're good natural athletes. And then he's also sitting next to Shinzo Abe having like call and they're posting pictures while over like stakes, like North Korea just did a missile launch So now we're dealing with a national security crisis at Mar-a-Lago. Yeah.
I told my dad both of those things, the whole Mar-a-Lago and the pictures and Japanese prime minister.
Right.
And he was like, please just stop. I can't take this right now. And he listened to basically anything. And he was like, I just can't take it right now. Maybe later. We'll talk about it later. It's too much.
That, there's a lot of the country going through that right now.
I actually had that conversation with Michael the other day. Yeah. I told him it's kind of like I just shattered my knee and now I'm going through rehab. You know, like I can't run like I used to. I can't consume as much news as I used to.
Right.
Just slowly but surely, I'm taking in a little bit more. You know, but how do you,
when you get to a point though where it's just like you can't, like there's certain things we can all choose to dip in and out of, but like what's happening?
You have to.
You know what I mean? Like, is it?
So my dad asked me, you know, he's like, you have to do this every day. And I was like, I think that complete immersion might actually help because
it just numbs you.
Yeah.
Not if you're a super producer, Matt Leff.
Yeah, I was about to say,
if anybody looks, if anybody looks at Matt's Instagram, oof.
Yeah, it all bothers me. And then there's the occasional time where I'm just like, oh my God. But for the most
part, the way
part,
my
just
brain
like,
is wired is like, as soon as I see the Mar-a-Lago picture, I immediately am like, it's a great fucking party. We're having an incredible time. I just turned into an impression.
Yeah,
it's
I have to deflect I have to deflect all reality into humor, basically. Like, otherwise, it's.
Well, it's also like what I think happens too is that from a comedic standpoint, in the past, like you're playing with subtext. Like, you're like, okay, so these crazy racist people think that Obama. Like, who's the you know, the most conciliatory, moderate guy on the planet. He's secretly a Muslim black militant. That's hilarious. Let's make that happen. And now what it is it's like, it's almost just like, oh, like, basically these insane people have made us all insane. So the joke is that everybody's just becoming that. You know what I mean? Like, that's the jokes, like, presidents throughout history being like, by the way, Bob Hope's a loser.
Right.
Like, just everything just gets sucked into that vortex.
The funny thing about that is oftentimes when I see, like, zombie movies, it's like, this is the zombie apocalypse, right?
Yeah.
Like,
that's like, the collective subconscious is warning us.
This is what it is. Like, you talk to somebody like, no, he's not born in Kenya. And they're like, no, I'm a zombie. Yes, he is. And I'm going to kill you. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what it is. The zombies have taken over.
The zombies look healthier than Stephen Miller, though. So we'll get to that in a minute. But look, let me say that John. So John McCain plays a major role in all this. But just, and we know, okay, so we've got the Mar-a-Lago photos. We've got the fact that, you know, the national security director is out in 24 days. There's all sorts of contradictory accounts to the press.
Can we talk about that at some point?
Yeah, we can talk about. Well, we'll talk about Mike Flynn right after we play this. But this is John McCain again. This is a guy that's still for twerps walking around Washington. Or like, well, John McCain. I mean, you know, agree or disagree. He's a great patriot. Takes his job really seriously. And this is McCain's brand. So of course, like, just we're at, and you know. I actually don't really freak out that much in general about these kind of things. Like, I get upset. I get worried. I think, you know, we've been in the apocalypse a long time from my perspective. But at the same time, like, I'm definitely not someone who every single thing is, you know, like, catastrophe.
Right.
But objectively, last couple of days, like, we've got some things going on that are like, yeah,
this
like this ain't gonna work just structurally. Like, if we kind of want to keep playing this game together, where like we have a government and things sort of function in a certain way, like this isn't working. So, John McCain, Mr. Country First, guy who made Sarah Palin's career, we're at this total point of crisis, and here he is at ABC News talking about how he's concerned.
Are there any questions that the White House needs to answer in your mind in terms of the timeline and lots of questions?
Yeah.
Are you gonna ask for a briefing or anything?
I want to see you. Wait and see. But obviously, there's an administration that is in significant disarray as far as national security is concerned, and they need to fix that. And we thank General Flynn for his service to the country.
Okay. They literally can't fix that. because they have a mentally ill con man running the country. How structurally could they fix that? And he's out there dropping the lines to remind everybody that he's a serious person and he takes his responsibility to our national security, you know, with the utmost. But he's not doing anything. I mean, Roy Blunt was the first one yesterday saying, we need to have this investigation about Russia finally.
And, you know, it's the same as always. Yeah. In order for him to do something, he'd have to actually have a backbone. He'd actually have to actually have a conscience. Yeah. And the bottom line is GOP-based voters are fine with this.
Yes.
And that's what it, you know.
GOP-based voters are still liking Trump.
Yes.
And that is why, again, if you go inside the districts, he's still really popular.
Of course.
Again, because this is what they want. I think that's the other really important thing about the Republican.
Yeah, this whole
dilemma.
Thing looking like it's failing is a victory. It's like the government's falling apart. Well, if you think the government is stupid and evil and dumb and needs to be broken, this is great. This is all a part of the plan.
Yeah, and it's like I keep having flashbacks to listening to like National Review people on podcasts talking about how much they need to kneecap the executive branch because it's a huge problem for them. They want to federalize everything. Well, here's a really good excuse for them to do that.
Right.
That's true. Well, that's the inbuilt advantage they have. Every disaster that they create feeds the argument that
the government
government's
is
the problem.
It's dumb.
So that's like that they have all of these
and
great
again,
kind of inbuilt reinforcement mechanisms.
They have all of the easy answers. That's
right.
All their entire structure is based on everything having a very simple, easy answer. You know, terrorism, ban the Muslims.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't got my job. Send the Mexicans back. Like,
Just got to do it.
Everything has a, you know, they're a one-stop shop for simple, stupid answers. But, the Michael Flynn thing is
Yeah, let's talk about the Michael Flynn thing for a minute.
It's so interesting to me because it reminds me of what happened at Penn State, right?
Yeah.
Where, you know, Jerry Sandusky and his son happens to be in the news again.
Did you just see that Jerry Sandusky's kid doing the same thing?
Right, which is crazy. So Jerry Sandusky is basically...
Not surprising, but it's crazy.
Jerry Sandusky is allowed to just basically run amok and use his affiliation with the program as an engine to do some of these nasty things that he was doing.
Right.
And the excuse around the time amongst, you know, Penn State people was like, well, Joe didn't know. But the problem is, like, even if that's the case, which we know that it wasn't, that almost becomes worse.
Right.
Because your job is to know.
Right.
So
right.
If you don't know, to me, that makes you look even worse. This idea that somebody could be operating this way and you've empowered him in such a position, like, that looks even worse on you than it does if you were collaborating. Because, you know,
I was collaborating.
You know, a collaboration implies some kind of, you know, foresight, some kind of planning, some type of competence. Like, if you didn't know that this guy was heavily Russia'd up.
Right.
What are we doing here? What do you know about anybody around you?
Like, right, right. Rush it up. It's all that Rosneft deal. That's the thing to look at. When they flip that company for billions of dollars to an unknown buyer, like I would pay attention to that deal. And by the way, people again trying to make it like I don't have a problem per se with them saying we're gonna de-escalate with you. And try another reset and see if we could have better bilateral relations. There's a lot of good things they could do together. They could work on arms control together. They should do more, you know, strategic arms reductions. I mean, of course, you know, Trump got on the phone with them and said he didn't like START because it wasn't good. Obviously, he doesn't know what START is.
Because he just heard about it.
Yeah, I heard about it, and I know that
he was in a bad mood when
Obama
he heard
was
it.
Involved with it, and I feel very insecure right now.
And I have low blood sugar.
Low blood sugar. I haven't had my McNuggets, and I don't like START. So I think that, you know, that, but do you think, like, and I know this is just so insane from our perspective to even say this, but I actually wonder if, like, there were those people, and this is the thing that is still the most frustrating about cable news and the press, and we'll get to more of it in the second half, but there still are those people that are like, you know, functionally they're not really swing voters because they're pretty much are, you know, like no swing voters left. But the right, or the type of people that might actually vote Democrat but have the like, all right, well now he's the president and we got to see. I mean, I remember listening to content, watching people say even before he got inaugurated, like, well maybe when he goes into office and he feels the burden, the weight of it, all of a sudden he'll just wake up. Like it's like, you know, people who were becoming through proximity to him just as delusional as he is. Like, of course not.
Right.
The guy's very limited and very capable of very few things, right? But I'm just wondering, like, for people who had those delusions, because it's the point you were making about Penn State and Flynn, like, as we definitively establish that this administration is so, like, embarrassingly incompetent and dangerous just through their complete inability. Like, I will say on my end, like, as horrible and as threatening and as dangerous as this all is, my kind of first week of, like, I don't know what they're going to do, man. Like, maybe they'll cancel an election. You know what I mean? Now, I'm like 3 weeks and I'm like, I don't think they're going to be able to handle that. I think what they need to figure out is how to do, like, a press briefing where Reince and Bannon right. say that they like each other without having to make jokes about massaging each other. I think they got, you know, you got to walk before you can fly.
Also,
but does that undermine him with those people that were even a couple weeks ago were doing the whole like, oh, well, you know, we just got to wait and see. Just the like sheer incompetence angle.
Oh, no. People,
you know what I mean?
And it's happening, right? Yeah. It's happening already where people are like, wow, this is a lot worse than I even thought that it could be. Right. And I'm not even talking about people that lean in the direction that you or I
might Yeah, right.
I'm talking about fence sitters.
That's what I'm saying.
Or, you know, those kind of God botherers who are like, his morality, like, I can't do his morality. But, you know, if he's going to close abortion clinics, you know, what the hey? You know, those kind of people are even like,
what the hey?
They didn't sign up to defend this guy's stuff for 4 years
at this rate.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, but, you know, what I was going to say is more, I think people are starting to see the light on this.
Right.
Like the fence sitters anyway, like the people who are super entrenched and, you know, basically, you know, they got swastika tattoos. Like they're not going anywhere.
Yeah. Well, and maybe that's the other part of it, too. That's like, you know, I know that people never like to acknowledge that racism, white people don't really like to acknowledge racism exists in some ways. And I completely agree that for both practical, moral, and policy reasons, Democrats need to have a serious inequality agenda. And the only way that you would even pick off possibly a couple million people that voted for Trump and also voted for Obama is by nominating somebody who's like, no bullshit. We're going to have a real healthcare plan. We're going to deal with the economy. That's it. That's undebatable. But I got to say, like, do you think that at least for some people, and part of it is just because, like, he's so repulsive, but when you have when you have Stephen Miller come out, who really, and someone I am this, and I had the same thought when I first saw him, the only thing that he could remind you of is an aspiring high school shooter. Right? Like, that is literally the only way I could place him.
Oh, man.
With those dead, soulless eyes. And he's trying to make his voice sound deeper than it is.
I think, you know, there must be a population of people who are sort of susceptible to going on some sort of break like that, but don't end up actually doing it. Steve Miller's like, he does seem very...
He's in the pool.
He's like, in the pool.
He was just successful enough. Like, he got into Duke. He
got the Duke acceptance letter. He's like, oh, everybody at high school is really lucky. Oh, they just dodged a lot.
You guys just dodged the bullet.
Yeah.
Literally.
I was like wondering, like, is this going to be the first administration that has an office shooting in it?
Oh, my God.
Because I thought about that with Flynn. Oh. I was like, these people are crazy.
Yeah, and Flynn, look, Flynn, he,
Dad!
He's a guy flying off the handle. He's on the edges to begin with, you know. But
that's actually, on Flynn for a second, though, right? Because let's go back to that before we do Miller in the fun half.
Right.
Because it's like, okay, I think this is what annoys people on the more, like, you know, our side, like more in that intercept zone, and I get it, is that obviously, like, the reason, and Glenn Greenwald actually did write a good piece about this yesterday, where he said, look, The only reason we know that Mike Flynn was lying was because there was someone who leaked the information.
That's what I wanted
right?
to get into.
Yeah, so we'll get to it's whistleblowing.
Right.
So it's the same behavior that, you know, put Drake, you know, Thomas Drake, and it ruined his career.
I thought you were
going
to say that. That yeah. planted Drake in the industry. Same, he's an industry plant.
It's the same thing. The same reason why Drake gets to run around Rihanna. It was a leak. I know it. You know it. We all know it. No, but, you know, obviously Chelsea Manning, Edward Snowden, all of these people were people who blew the whistle on right. government malfeasance. And there are a lot of people, you know, or we, it was established last year, Jake, you know, or not last year, but rather several years ago, Clapper lied to the Senate
right.
about NSA, right?
Right.
And the Obama administration, that's definitely a mark against it. It was horrible on whistleblowers. And now you see, you know, a lot of people cheering this on when clearly, like what's happening to
that's,
Flynn
yeah.
is just internal intelligence wars. And I understand why people get frustrated by that. But I'm wondering if people start to see the intel community just be like the other political player that they really are. Does that start making everybody more thoughtful about all of these institutions in the long run? You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. It's like, as a Democrat or a lefty or somebody who just opposes
Stalinist.
This, right.
Yeah. Believe in democracy.
A Leninist.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Or someone who would like government to function with some basic competency and decency. Right. Anywhere on that line.
But how do you yeah. feel about a deep state coup? Right. You know what I'm saying? Because this is a slippery slope.
Yeah.
Like, it's serving yeah. our own ends now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's exactly. arguably not unprecedented, though, too. Like, Nixon felt was number two at FBI.
Right.
So, you know, it's not...
Wait, explain that to people.
So, Mark Felt, who it was late, I think, in the 2000s, revealed that he was...
He was Deep Throat?
He was Deep Throat, yeah.
Not the movie, y'all.
Yeah, he was the number two at the FBI, and he wanted to take over the... Bob Woodward actually had a book... I think that recently came out with Alexander Butterfield, who revealed it, but had some stuff about that. So, like
that he was doing it for his own career advancement.
Yeah,
it wasn't, and there was also internal wars because the people in the intel community did not like basically that Nixon was trying to like bring them to heel
right.
in his own like
Hudson
private
plan,
org.
Or Houston plan it was called.
Okay.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly.
So, no, I mean, I don't, obviously, I'm not, I mean, but again, that's something that culturally is an interesting conversation. Like, I have no problem, and I'm glad that Mike Flynn got leaked on. And I also don't even have a problem saying that, again, I made this point a couple weeks ago. I have all sorts of problems with someone like John Brennan, just even on policy grounds,
ugh.
Right? Like,
yeah.
the kill list, yeah. how we manage the drone program, that's real stuff.
Right.
And expansion of NSA and all of the, I mean, not only is it a problem then, it's also like, I remember arguing with somebody in 2013, and I didn't use Trump as my example, but I did say, okay, let me stipulate that Barack Obama never makes mistakes and is a perfect human being and he's never done anything wrong. But if you don't govern these things and you don't have an adversarial system, what happens when you have a crazy Republican president?
Right.
Little did I know.
Right.
I didn't actually mean clinical. So now we have, like, you know, this situation. And I do notice with the, you know, some of the, like, the more Hillary types that I'm friends with, is when they put out, like, the, like, see, this is why you shouldn't screw with the CIA. Like, they don't play. And, of course, I'm sitting there, like, maybe a bunch of, like, peasants who wanted like a living wage somewhere should have also knew that like the CIA doesn't play
right.
before they like set up a coup or like, you know, right. maybe like, you know, Alaki's kids should know that our deep state doesn't play. I get it. I think it's gross, but I don't have a problem. But also politics is one of opportunism, you know,
and
well.
And it's yeah. a lot of times the great things happen for the wrong reasons, right? Like
right.
we don't actually know why.
Right.
The intelligence community is like, we're not having this. We don't know. I mean, aside
from... I think it's a bunch of... I think some of it is genuinely... That
like
these
morality.
Are, yeah. No,
like
it's
they
true.
See what everybody else does?
Right.
No.
They're like, this
no.
is bullshit.
Well, but that's what
like,
people...
Like, hey, is this supposed to be us?
That's what people don't understand. Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, as far as the question of is it good that... people are seeing all of these institutions come out. It just, it reminds me of an article from this month's New York Mag that I just read yesterday about it's by Michael Idov, and who grew up here in the States, but it was originally from Russia and then went back.
Really?
And he, you know, the subhead for the article and the main takeaway that kept me thinking is once you lose faith in one institution, you start to lose faith in them all. And so while I don't think it's good for the American public to not generally just not think about their distrust of institutions, it's better for everyone to be awake. In a way, if you start, the more that people start to realize that all of these institutions are like working against each other and they're made up of human beings and you can't really just blindly trust them, the more that it kind of creates a culture of distrust in the government. And then, you know, the description of how that plays out in Putin's Russia, it's not good for
people.
But
the problem is that, you know, you can't, this is where these institutions have all earned their distrust. Yeah. Like
right,
this
exactly.
is the this well, is the environment.
This is a hypernormalization thing.
Yeah, like, this is hypernormalization.
The stories
are
not keeping up with what we're actually learning about reality. and really, I think, you know, like there's no solution for that other than we're going to hit these bottoms that we're hitting right now, and a portion of the population will realize what the meaning, like what those institutions are actually there for in the first
this
place.
This is why I yeah. always keep thinking, and tell me what you think of this. This is why I always keep thinking of these pre and post examples. Like this is where like culturally the argument that, you know, it's not as simple or as condensed that, like, you know, Hillary specifically led to Trump or something like that. But I don't think you have Donald Trump. I know you don't have Donald Trump without rampant criminality in the financial services industry.
Right.
You don't have Trump without an unaddressed structural racism in this country. You don't have Trump without massive inequality. You don't have Trump without, you know, corruption across right. every institution. So
if people couldn't say you sucked at your job, you couldn't have, like, if yeah. people couldn't point at these institutions right. and say you failed at
all
your
of them.
Tasks,
all of them,
they and wouldn't that, look to Trump to say, all right, save us from this.
Yeah, and that's what he came along yeah. to do. And I right. think that, you know, that, and that's where it's like, right. do we have, I mean, I remember I said last year, I said, look, the situation we're in, I did think Hillary would win, but I said, ultimately, like, the choice is Bernie or Donald. Like, we're either going to have big improvements or we're going to go to seriously bad places.
Right.
Because people don't trust what they can't trust.
And it's also interesting, like, to criticize it from the left, and I understand yeah. that impulse to be skeptical of them. But it's also funny when you want the Democratic senators to throw out all those institutional norms and everyone else. Well, if the intelligence community is throwing off some of the norms to go after Trump, like, okay, we don't trust why they're doing it. But fundamentally, it's like, I think at least my judgment right now is I just want Trump out of the White House.
Right? Okay. No, like, and but by the way, I'm okay with the deep state coup.
wait, explain that. Why are you okay with that?
Get him because it's something that we talked about recently too. It's about tactics. Mm-hmm. It's about this is what it's going to take.
It shouldn't have gotten to this point is the right. point. And but now that it has, you know, you don't have a lot of
right.
options.
We don't have like our quote unquote advocates in the Congress, the Democrats in the Senate and in the House. They are completely powerless. They can't do a damn thing to this guy.
But that's why we got to be on the streets, though.
Like, well, I mean,
to do all of the above, but I think it becomes our own technocratic wish fulfillment. Like right. some people get on their own, like, what I just want is some CIA officers who speak Arabic to just reinstall Obama. You know, like, that's like that like homeland, like mediocre liberal fantasy.
No.
You know what I mean? I
have no fantasies about the CIA.
No, but where I agree with you is that, yeah, the norms are out and everybody's playing. What I hope is that maybe it leads to like, all right, we get all of these institutions are dysfunctional and corrupt, and but first we make distinctions. That's like another. That's like what the Bernie or Bust people missed. There is a big difference between understanding structural corruption and someone who's like, no, no, I really would like to turn this country into Uzbekistan.
Right.
That's a big difference between saying like Uzbekistan and we just gonna do it.
Right. And but again, the problem. This is why I'm okay with this sort of deep state intrusion stuff.
Right.
Because you take an institution like Department of Homeland Security, who's in charge of letting people in?
Right.
Something that they actually do well, like vetting the people that are allowed to come into this country, they're being attacked for not, like, up is down. Like, no, they actually do. Like, this is a function that they actually perform well. And then you have our president's supporters saying, no, they're not doing it well enough. We need to impose some travel ban. It's like, even though institutions have been dysfunctional and they failed, you know, whether it be the regulators or whoever they may be, it's like, you guys don't have an appreciation for what it could have been, right? Like,
I think you will now.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You know, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, a lot of times these institutions aren't even getting the credit for the stuff that they do well.
Right.
Because people have been fed this narrative of just... everything government gets their hands on is disastrous.
Well, that's the Alex Jones. Like, that's, again, and that's why I try to make the point. And I know a lot of people don't get it, and they say it's...
like, as much as the CIA... Yeah. Sorry to cut you off, as the CIA has ruined so many things...
Rasta lately, no work for no CIA.
I mean, you already know. Yeah. Ja, Rastafari. Seeing? Nah, but, as, you know, as much as they've messed up a lot of stuff globally... they have actually performed functions that have kept us safe at home. Like, you know, and I'm not even gonna do the keeping scores thing, because if, you know, if we're being real, wow, they probably...
that would not be, you know, a winning score.
Exactly. It wouldn't be a winning score. But there are things, there are functions that they actually perform adequately.
Well, and I also think, again, this is the thing that I wish people would understand. And I know every time I try to make this point, there's a certain contingent of people that just can never process it. And then we go to the fun half. Is like, and you, again, John Brennan to me is the consummate example of this. If we were in a, and by the way, if we were in a normal situation, if Hillary Clinton was president and we were assessing the drone program, the kill list, and everything else, I would be dedicating a lot of content to talk about civilian deaths in Yemen, Pakistan, as I did, by the way, in real time,
right,
and talking about how dysfunctional and dangerous that legacy is. But also, when you look at someone like John Brennan, it's someone who, in contrast to these Trump people, and what people need to understand, is still someone who somewhat took, or did take, through his own filtered value system, which I happen to have strong disagreements with, he took his function and his task seriously,
right,
and wanted to maintain some institutional integrity. And that's, again, that's the thing that that people on our side, that's when I get into that dumb left critique. Because you got to start being able to make distinctions between things that are structurally wrong. They could be disgusting. We could have strong, profound disagreements with. But if you can't see that versus like, we're just going to turn the country into a private Exxon subsidiary. Or I'm going to, you know, be lobbying for Turkey basically is the same time I'm coming in, which is another thing that we didn't even talk about with Flynn. And you talk about like the Kurds, like they're going to get sold out in a second by this administration. So, you know, and Flynn literally was out, you know, doing those lobbying contracts during the transition. So, you know, you got to be able to make these distinctions, because you need to know, we need to be able to make some actual threat assessments here, which is part of how we got into this situation. It's one thing to say everything's disgusting and dysfunctional, but you need to make those distinctions. I mean, I agree with you. I think that's the point you're making.
Or else you turn into, you know, keep your government hands off my Medicaid guy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're not making
the
proper distinctions, you're just another one of those people that we on the left like to make fun of and act like we're superior to.
Yeah, exactly.
Which mostly is true.
Exactly. Well, it's as good a time as any to go into the fun half, where we can act with more superiority to all of our inferiors.
Coastal liberal elites.
This is actually what Waz and I do. Like, even when we're out drinking, we're like, could we get another round for the coastal liberal elites. Subscribe to Two Dope Boys in a Podcast. Lots happening with that show. Obviously, you can also hear Waz on that show. Subscribe to The Majority Report. In all ways, you can subscribe. Write us a review on iTunes. Just Coffee, Fair Trade, tea, coffee, or chocolate. We're going to hit you up in the fun half. Thanks, everybody.